Week 2. The Furnace of God. What Others See of God in Us. Though the title above may not sound like it, this is the good stuff. This is where the familiarity of the shoreline disappears from view, and we venture out together on the open sea with nothing to guide us but the good compass. Many turn back at this point because the subject matter doesn't appear pleasant or easygoing. We won't. Let's be open and real as we trust fully in the steadfast love of the Lord. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Amos 3:2. It got personal at this point. Amos opened the third chapter with the piercing words, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt." Amos 3:1. Note the part that I put in italics just now. The whole family that I brought up. God was talking to His children, whom He rescued and loved. Don't forget that. A large purpose of giving the law and covenant to His people was so that the rest of the world could learn about and see what kind of God He truly is through the good relationship He had with His people. The people of the world also would see what kind of God He is by how His people lived differently under His care, provision, and governance. So, what was the rest of the world saying about what kind of God He is when His people do this? They sell the righteous for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals. Those who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth, and turn aside from the way of the afflicted. A man and his father go into the same girl, so that my holy name is profaned. They lay themselves down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge, and in the house of their God they drink the wine of those who have been fined. Amos 2:6-8. Not the pagan world. God's people had corrupted the courts so that the innocent and poor had no voice and were abused by the powerful through bribes. They then treated the needy with less worth than a pair of sandals. The value of a single human life was disregarded completely. The cities of Israel had become major economic centers, especially Samaria and those on major trade routes. In lusting after the goods and status of the pagan world, God's people trample the heads of the poor into the dust instead of showing compassion. Those deemed undesirable were pushed off the road, out of the way of the high and mighty. A man and his father had sex with the same temple prostitute in perverse fertility cult rites, like the ungodly pagan nations around them. This action was expressly condemned in the Mosaic Law. Although the law forbade the taking of someone's clothes or garment overnight as a method of paying of a debt, God's people did it anyway, and likely used that same poor man's cloak to lay on the ground to have sex with the prostitute they were using at a pagan shrine or altar. They overtaxed and put excessive fines on people's livelihood so that the people couldn't sustain themselves. They filled their bellies with what they took by force, and even used that extra wine in obligatory temple services for God. All this led to one overarching result. Quote, "My holy name is defamed." Amos 2:7. You tell me, if God's character can be seen through the way His people treat Him and one another, What kind of God is God from this list of grievances Amos gives? Was he any different from any cruel pagan deity according to that criteria to those who didn't know him? No, he wasn't. Judging from his people's actions, he was no different. He was devious. He was perverse. He had no compassion for the poor. He approves of whoring and prostituting women as his people gloried in their lust. He was fine with fertility cult prostitution. He left the afflicted in their pain and hardship, showing love to no one who could not give him something in return. He devoured the righteous and crushed the poor who had no political power. That was God's character, if seen by how his people lived their lives as his children. Now can you see why God said, no more? You can see why God was very, very angry. The harsh pagan world around Israel was saying, your God is no different from ours. God would make it very clear that he was and is. Okay, now let's get real. If people were to learn the character of God by only the way you relate to him and to the world around you as a follower of Christ, what would they say about him? Through your words, your actions, your relationships, how you treat your family, your business practices, the quality of your worship on Sundays, what you do in private, and in the time you spend with God outside of Sunday, what would people say about the kind of God he is by observing your life as a Christian? For all of us. Sometimes that question can sting pretty badly. God's best work. Amos wasted no words. He got to the point pretty quickly. It's easy to be lured away by the trappings of the world, but still keep one foot in a religious life. Our lives can be marked by all kinds of questionable things as we still attend church regularly. When relationship becomes religion, we drift away from God on an almost imperceptible tide that pulls us out to a wearying and meaningless sea. Amos may seem harsh, but he's just the thing to shake us out of a religious slumber and to see the reality of what our sin achieves. We're heading to a good place in Amos. It's a place few Christians go, I'm afraid. It's a place marked by the undying love of a gracious God, though it seems as if it's the last place you want to be. It is where God does his best work in us, if we will just stay with him. It's a place where mighty men and women of faith are made, and it's called the furnace of God. James opened his book in the New Testament with this statement, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." James 1, 2 through 4. The phrase "testing of your faith" comes from the Greek word dokimos and relates to the firing process a pot must go through before it is ready for use. The clay is shaped by the potter and then placed into a blazing hot kiln to harden. In James's day, if that pot made it through the firing process without cracking, the word dokimos was written on the bottom of it by the potter. That was proof that this pot made it through the fire and didn't break up. it was ready for anything that it was required for. James was talking here about the kind of fire found in the furnace of God. The testing of our faith can come through persecution by the world because we follow Jesus. It can also be from personal trials or hardships. They can be part of his furnace. But just because times are hard or because people are cruel doesn't always mean that's his furnace. Surely God works all things for our good, but the furnace of God is different. The potter shapes the pot and then places it in the fire himself. God uses his furnace the same way. It isn't just to test us. It's to transform us by his own work and his own fire. According to James, the end goal of God's furnace is steadfast faith in him, full and lacking nothing. The furnace of God produces steadfast faith. That's why it's different. It has a purpose. Too many Christians, I believe, won't stay in the furnace when God turns up the heat to burn off the impurity and weakness within the vessel. Like, quote, "rend your hearts and not your garments" in Joel, the furnace of God can be a deeply painful place, especially for the prideful and rebellious. It gets too hot, and we hop out back into the lives we used to live that made us weak in our faith and impure in our minds. In doing so, we render ourselves unfit for the greater use that was ours if we had stayed with God and let him do his refining work. The furnace of God often feels like suffering because we aren't satisfying our lusts, pleasing our flesh, stroking our egos, or catering to our prideful expectations. We are there in the fire, utterly dependent upon God and often covered in heartfelt tears. It's not about simply surviving. The furnace is about producing something that wasn't there before. Steadfast faith in God. It will not be available without the intense heat of God's purifying hand shaping us and creating it within us. It's not hard to spot the men and women with a steadfast faith formed deep within them by opening up their whole life to the intense work of God. They have a minor prophet fire in them. They're not always tough looking on the outside like some poser. They're tough on the inside. They're the ones you can rely on to go right into the ring for you in prayer, to do battle with the devil himself, because they have no fear of his accusations compared to Christ's redeeming power. They are defined by an unshakable faith in God Almighty and in the risen Jesus who defeated sin, death, and hell, triumphing over them by his cross. Nothing can hold those sons and daughters of God. There are far too few believers in Christ who have welcomed the furnace of God in their lives, whereas many more limp by day after day, shackled by sin and hounded by hell. Amos is a furnace. He can be an introduction to this kind of refining fire if we will be open to God's heat on the things we know need to be burned out of our lives to make us ready for all he has for us in Christ. Let him work. For you and me in the real world, the roots of sin run very deep sometimes, but the transforming work God does in us goes deeper still. As a former stubborn, prideful rebel, I can say with all my heart, let him work. Stay near to Him in prayer, in trust, and in humility with an open heart. If there are some things that God needs to reveal and deal with in your life, trust Him that all is for your good and that He is conforming you into nothing less than the image of His own Son, Jesus. Then, what people will see in us and hear in our words like never before is the reality of how we've been changed and made new through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, with lives that stay near to God in honest relationship with Him. The furnace has to do its work in us, though. Good things on the other side of it. Stay with the Lord in the furnace if you are there at the moment. He is faithful to complete the work He begins. Don't run from Him. Let's sail further into Amos with an open and humble heart to the strong work of a good and faithful God. No wrong answers, discussion questions. Number one, for all of us, the process of becoming more like Christ by His work in us can sometimes feel like a furnace, burning away the impurities and solidifying our spirits in holiness. Have you ever been in the furnace of God before? How did the love of God and His care for you in shaping your heart become more real to you in that process? Number two, so many followers of Christ don't welcome the heat of God's furnace in their lives. We can content ourselves with limping along in floundering faith instead of letting God get to the heart of the matter and do His cleansing and purifying work from the inside out. What are some attitudes and actions you think may encourage welcoming the furnace of God as a believer? What kinds of things work against allowing this deep work of God in us? Number three, talk around your table about why some Christians may feel threatened by God's speaking in this way, or even see this subject as unchristian in some sense.